What's up, guys, and welcome to Game Nights and Hard Talks.
Join us, August and Elena, for a unique blend of casual gaming sessions and heartfelt conversations.
We really love playing games and wanted to document the time we spend playing together, along with capturing the conversations we have.
Our goal is to create a community of people who crave authentic stories and connections with others while also enjoying some good gameplay.
So let's keep the dice rolling and jump into the episode.
Well, hello.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 11. Moving right along.
We are moving right along. Also, my thing won't flip.
Okay, so we are trying something new. We've, as you notice, these first couple of episodes, we're going to be testing quite a bit of things. So we realized that just doing gameplay is probably not very engaging for people just listening on the podcast. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do hardcore gameplay on the YouTube channel for Game Nights and Heart Talks, but then we're going to lean more into the Heart Talks piece of, that's probably very loud on your mic.
I know, I'm having technical difficulties. Just okay. Keep going though.
Maybe we start over.
Okay, we'll start over.
Okay. Welcome back to episode 11. Yeah. Today we're going to be trying something new. As you have probably noticed with the last couple of episodes, we're going to be testing some things. Now, we did Wingspan and Castle Panic as like gameplay, which we like doing, but we think that it's not going to be as entertaining for the podcast side of things. So what we're going to do is we're going to do hard gameplay on the YouTube channel for Game Nights and Heart Talks. So then you can visually see it, but then we will do, we'll do more of the Heart Talks conversation here on the podcast. We'll still talk about the game, what it is. So for those listening, they can get some new game ideas and things like that, but it's going to be more focused on, we're going to be playing the game and I'll introduce it. We're going to do this fun thing where we'll switch off, like giving a clue about the game before we start. And then we'll kind of explain it a little bit like that. And then we'll get into the Heart Talk section while we play. So
what is the game today?
Well, I had this really clever hint and everything, and I was like, yeah, this is going to be so good. And then August comes to me at dinner, and he's like, so is this the game that we're playing tonight? And I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, how did you know? And he just happened to guess it. So I'm still going to give you the hint.
Okay. I would still like to hear the hint because you did put a lot of effort into it.
I did, and I thought it was very clever. So.
I was just more clever. So go ahead.
Okay. The hint is, this is a game where everyone could technically do the exact same thing every turn, yet every single time I've played it, I've never seen anybody come out with the same board as someone else.
That was a pretty good hint.
Pretty good hint, huh? And that, I think, makes this game very interesting for the listeners because technically everybody could do the same thing, but I have never seen anybody do the exact same thing because there are a lot of options.
It is definitely rare to see that.
So what is the game called?
The game is called Welcome to Your Perfect Home.
Isn't it Welcome to... Oh, I thought it was Welcome to My Perfect Home.
Nope, we've been saying it wrong, but it's Welcome to Your Perfect Home.
Amazing. Okay, so Welcome to Your Perfect Home. It's by Blue Cocker Games, and I found this really good description of the game. So for those who are listening and are like, oh, yeah, actually, I'm really interested, I found the description as we get like the game set up from this board game shop website called Mantis Gaming Studios. And here's what they say in Welcome To, and they do dot, dot, dot. So they don't actually say the full name. They just go Welcome To. And hopefully
that's what it's actually technically called. Welcome
just to. Welcome To.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's ... your perfect home.
Yep.
Hopefully that shuffling is not too loud on the mic.
That's why I'm putting it out over here.
Okay.
Away from me.
Okay. Sounds good. I will wait to talk until that shuffling is done, just in case we need to edit it. Okay, so here's what they say. In Welcome To, players are American architects in the 50s during the baby boom, but beware of the competitions. Who will best accomplish the city plans by creating the nicest housing estates in the three streets he's been assigned, with the luxurious parks and fancy pools? Welcome is a game where everyone plays at the same time with the same cards. It's all about cleverly combining the house numbers with their associated effects in order to become the greatest architect of tomorrow. You feel like that's a pretty good description?
Yeah, but I also feel like that's the actual game description.
Is it?
Let's check. I just copied and pasted. Game over to view. And Welcome To, players are American architects in the 50s during the baby boom.
Oh, it's the exact
same. But be aware of the competition. Who will best accomplish the city? Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Well, all right. So Mantis Gaming, you took the rule book, which fine. They're selling board games, so.
No. I mean, why would you need to do a summary? You just have the perfect summary in the rule book, you know?
It's true. I should have gone to the rule book first. Anyway. I had this question that I think is actually will be valuable for the listeners is, how would you describe this game to a child? So I'm curious what you would say. I have some things that I would say, but I'm curious what you would say to describe this game to a child.
How old is this child?
Obviously the child can talk, so they can comprehend words and sentences and they can respond back to you. So let's say like 6 years old.
All right. 6 years old.
You're like, don't play.
Don't play.
No, that's how I'd explain it to you.
Oh gosh, this is actually a lot harder than I thought.
Do you want me to go first?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So I would say whoever gets the most points wins at the end of the game. Everybody always wants to know the objective. Like, what am I trying to do? Whoever gets the most points wins. So it's a point-based game. And then you get points by building houses and using the bonuses that come with the houses you build. The bonuses are pools, parks, fences, property values, and constructions. I did not include bizzes because I do not see them as bonuses. But maybe we should try and play a game with all bizzes and see how that goes. Anyway.
We end up with so much negative points.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah, those are the bonuses. And then I would tell them, you have three rows to play your houses on. And the only rule in placing them is that the numbers have to go from lowest to highest. You can't place higher numbers in front of lower numbers. But the numbers don't have to be in order, so you can play higher number, but you can only play higher numbers after lower numbers. So you could play a 1, a 4, a 7, and a 10 all right next to each other, but you couldn't play a 1, or you couldn't play a 10, a 4, a 12, and a 15. So that's how I would describe it.
You know, I would actually use that description also to explain it to adults, because we did that the game night the other night, and yeah, that was basically the description we used.
The amount of times that I played this with my dad in particular, and we tell him the rules, and maybe we're not clear, so I'll take that responsibility, but we'll tell him the rules, and every time he'll be like, what? I didn't know I could do that.
It's like, I swear I told you.
Yes. So
That's to describe the game to the kid, or is it more to describe the rules?
That would be just like to describe the game and the rules. What would you say we like about the game?
Well, I don't know what you particularly like, but what I like about this game is the fact that you could play with 100 people.
Yeah.
And everyone takes the same exact turn. So, when I say same exact turn, there's three different piles, and you flip the first three cards to start you off, and everyone will pick one option of those three to place into their rows. And like you were saying, nobody has the same exact layout by the end, but like at the beginning, you will have a couple.
Right.
People are like, oh yeah, and that think the same, but eventually, like, I think after the third one, it changes. So
everybody is drastically doing something different.
I think I like that too, is like, it's never the same. Like, nobody's going to do the same exact thing, unless obviously they're watching somebody.
Right.
Which, you know, has happened a few times. So that's one aspect I really enjoy. What about you?
I would say there's lots of ways to get points. And I personally like games where it feels like a new game each time you play because of all the ways to get points. And so it's like the numbers are not paired with the same bonuses every time. So it's like, yeah, literally you're going to come out with a different board every single time. You can even play the same cards, like if they were in the same order, connected with the same bonuses, and still get a different board. And I appreciate that about games, because to me, that means there's a lot of strategy involved. Because like literally everybody could do the same thing. And so it's your job to compile the numbers in the right way so that you could beat everybody.
Yeah. Or so to maximize your score. And
yeah.
Like, yeah, you're versing other players, but it's, I always view this game as I'm playing against myself.
Yeah.
See if I can, you know, beat my previous score or do better the next time.
Yeah.
So that's also another thing I like about it.
Yeah, I do like that. I think something else is that there are tons of expansions, like tons of different ways to like play and different things to do. Like, what are some of the expansions?
So we have the app version.
I was going to mention that. I do like that there's an app version. They come with like paper that you can do it on, which is nice, but we ran out of paper very quickly.
Very, very quickly. We play this game a ton. And yeah. I would say it's actually one of your siblings' more favorite games of our collection.
Yes.
So it has all of them, and it has the standard base game, but then it lists them, I think, in order that they were released. So as follows, there's the Easter Egg Hunt, Doomsday, Zombie, Ice Cream Truck, Halloween, and Winter.
Which one sounds the most interesting to you?
I'm actually curious how the zombie one works.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I'm like, I don't even know what is added to that.
Yeah. We have the Doomsday expansion, which that one is a lot of fun too. I do like that one. It's like a nuclear war happened and everyone has to go into bunkers and you're still building a neighborhood.
Yeah. You're still doing it. You're still being an architect.
Yeah. So I think the next one I personally would like to get is the zombie one.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So who would we recommend the game to? I would say large groups of people, because everybody plays at the same times and you could play, it says up to 100 players, because I believe in the game it gives you 100 sheets.
Yeah.
But if you have the app, literally you could gather a big room of 1,000 people and everybody could play.
You could do a conference hall and everyone can play. Obviously managing whether or not people are
doing it right turn. And doing none of their
actually turn. The way you could do it is just give them like a timer,
or everybody has buzzers. A little buzzer, and then like they can switch it to green when they're ready.
Well, yeah, it'll light up, and then someone has like a control board that shows all the switches, so they don't have to like look out. They can just look at the control board. If it's all green, they press the button, flip the three cards, and everyone begins their turn. But also have a timer on there. So, like, people have to make a decision so the game still is running, you know?
Okay. Anyway. We're doing it. We're going to compile the largest conference of gamers and play Welcome My to. Perfect Home. Welcome to.
The ultimate competition. It'll be a 3-day event. be a tournament style.
Everybody's playing, tournament style would be awesome. And then everybody plays all the expansions.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good. So large groups of people, people who like strategy games. If you're playing with people who are your basic, I don't want to play anything other than Sorry, then not for them. I would say also people who can handle a lot of different ways to get points and not be overwhelmed. I've played with my fair share of people who, like, I teach them and they're like, oh my God, I can't do this.
Yeah. I've had my fair share of that too.
Yeah. So I'd say that. And then you can play on teams. You just pair people up. And so if you want to do like a group date night and everybody's on the team with their partner, you could do that. I don't know why you wouldn't just play separately, but you know, sometimes people like to play on teams.
Yeah, I can kind of see it, but again, it's like if everyone has an iPhone and you can download the app, just have everyone do it.
Yeah,
this is also actually a great game for people just by themselves.
It is a solo player game.
They do have like a AI style.
I've played it.
You've played. I have not.
It's actually pretty decent. Like I was scrambling. It was like beating my ass. I was like, holy crap. I find that with most solo ones that are like actually decent solo games, you have to actually like try to beat it. So
I do appreciate that about a lot of solo games. Specifically Everdell.
Oh yeah. I haven't needed many solo games because now I'm that we're dating, you're always down to play games. But before, like I would always be like, I want to play a game. And my siblings never wanted to play. So it was like, solo games would be perfect for that. So home alone.
I had a board game group and then got my family slowly into board games. And so I've never really been in a situation where I've played a game alone.
Yeah.
Per se. Descent is looking like the only one I'm going to have to play alone.
If you can catch me on a good day, I'll play that one with you.
Yeah. Might find a leprechaun first.
Okay, so we're going to start. I'm naming my town Test 12. You may be like, why are you naming that? The past 12 times that I played, I don't care to think about crazy names. I did that when I first started playing. Now I'm just like, let's keep it simple. So I'm just doing Test 1, 2, 3, all the way up, and we'll see how many times I play this game. It's a cool way to track my games too.
I just create stupid names. So this one is Welcome to Lucky Pants.
Lucky Pants.
Yep.
My dad last time he named his town, what was it? He's like, I'm finally gonna win or something.
And okay. Then he did win, right?
He did. He did indeed. So we'll be playing now our heart talks topic for today.
What is it?
How to live and travel across the U.S. even if you don't want to do the RV lifestyle.
Oh, goodness. So our last 2 years of our life.
Exactly. I thought that would be perfect. So we're going to do our best to play and talk, which is something I realize I have a hard time doing. But
because we just get so absorbed in the game. But we'll try to keep the conversation flowing.
Yeah.
And going. So do you want to start it off?
With the cards, or do you mean with the conversation?
Conversation.
Yeah. Let's flip the cards. Let's get the game going. And I will see how drastically my points drops because I'm focusing on, you know, getting things. Okay. So sorry. See, this is why I can't talk. I'm trying to think of where to put this. And I'm like, I don't know.
You're doing the eight pool.
Who could say? Probably. Pools are pretty rare. So what have we done this past year and a half when it comes to traveling? Because in order to talk about this topic, we kind of got to
give
ourselves some credibility.
So last year and a half, we were traveling. We say across the United States. It was more like up the East Coast.
Up and down the East Coast.
Up and down the East Coast. That's true. We were doing Airbnb stays, and specifically the longer term stays.
Yep.
Which was super nice to do. And it was honestly, it was probably just as expensive or maybe a little cheaper than actual rent. And we didn't get stuck with a lease.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the basic gist of it. However, to actually start it, it was around, when did we leave?
August 2022 is August 1st.
Yeah.
We made it nice and easy to remember.
My name is also August. Yeah. God. Anyway, I was going to say the amount of times I've heard this one specific question from the people who meet me. What do you think it is?
How to spell August?
No, that's the second most common, which is weird.
That is weird.
Is your birthday in August?
Oh.
Literally.
Like, no, my mom's not a pleb. She's not naming me after the month I was born in. Or that'd be funny. You'd be like, yeah, and I have a sister who was born in May. Her name's May, and I've got a sibling named November.
Well, that would be Ben's name.
Yeah.
And then Anna's name would be October.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's by far the most common question I get asked always. Anyway, so yeah, we left August 1st and we traveled to Florida and we drove from
Utah. Well, where were, yeah, I was going to say, where were we coming from?
Yeah, we were coming from Utah and we went to Florida. That took a week, mostly because we chose to. Like a, what, 30-something-hour drive?
30-hour drive, yeah. Yeah, so that's why I put on the back of this, like, if you don't want to do it with an RV. So, like, how this kind of started, this was actually my decision. This story is not romantic at all. Because I was like, okay. Our studio had closed. So something that you know about August and I is that we were both professional ballroom dancers and we did that for quite a while. And so our studio had closed down. We had both decided our partners had stopped dancing. We had both decided, hey, this is not going to be the route that we're going to go anymore. I had dropped out of college a couple years before that. Actually, I wouldn't say dropped out, just chose a different direction.
So drop down.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, sure. Dropped out. You did too though. And so we weren't going to college. My thing, I had started a business and it had gone completely remote. And so at that point I was like, well, I've never lived outside of Utah besides being born in Colorado and living there for 3 years. And
hardly counts.
It counts. It counts. If I was like born and then moved the next day, then maybe, but I have lived there 3 years. Like that's a good amount of time. That doesn't matter. I still live there. If you ever want to get us into a big debate, ask us what it counts to travel to a state. Being in the airport of a state counts. That means that you have visited it, whether you saw it or not.
Pathetic reason.
It counts.
You can count, but it's a pathetic reason in my opinion. Anyway.
It 100% counts. Hold on, I'm not done. And so I was like, you know, there's nothing keeping me here. Why don't I just go and live and travel? And August and I had probably been dating for 6 months at that point. No longer. Eight months.
It was a little over. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had been dating for 8 months. I was like, I think I want to go to Florida. Why did I choose Florida? Because I had like two big business conferences there, actually maybe three. And so I was like, we'll just be there for that time. And then we'll just go from there. And I was like, I don't want to do it in an RV. I made that very clear. I did not want to do it in an RV because I didn't want to feel like I was living on the road all the time. I still wanted to feel like I had a house that had furniture, that had a bed. That was important to me for some reason. And so I was looking at it and I did not realize that Airbnbs allowed you allow you to stay for long times. Some of them, obviously some don't, but I didn't realize that. And I was like, that's super neat. I think I want to do that. I want to go and live in states 3 months at a time and just travel and not have to pay rent and not have to commit to something, but be able to still have a home, a base that has furniture and things like that. And I can just do it in my car. And so the reason this story is not romantic, because this is very much like my personality. I came to August and was like, hey, so I'm going to do this. You can come with me or not. I didn't even approach you saying, hey, babe, I really want you to come with me. It was just like, I'm going
regardless,
come or not type thing. So yeah, I wish I would have approached that a little bit differently. Yeah, not going to lie.
Definitely like stunned.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. But ultimately I ended up deciding to come along because similar to you, I didn't really have a whole lot keeping me in Utah. Like, granted, I did have a job, at a different business, like a dice company called Die Hard. That place is great. That was honestly the only thing really keeping me there, but it wasn't like that big of a thing. So yeah, we ended up going together. And man, it was quite a journey.
Okay, well, I feel like you kind of brushed over that really fast. Like, it was the same way like with you moving in. I was just kind of like, hey, do you want to move in? And you're like, sure. And then the next day you had moved in. It wasn't a big deal, though. I feel like
I was constantly over there all the time. So it was like, that's, I was practically true, living there. So that's why it was.
Okay, but like, how did you make that decision to literally go from, I've never lived anywhere else. You were born in Utah, never lived anywhere else. You didn't travel a ton either. You traveled for dance, but you didn't travel a ton. So what made you be like, yeah, I'm going to go live with my girlfriend.
Completely different place.
For 3 months at a time in an Airbnb. Give up my dice job that I like.
Let me take my train real quick.
You know what you want.
Okay. I guess it wasn't actually that, it didn't take that long. And that's why I glazed over it, because it really didn't take me that long to be like, yeah, I'm going to go.
No, it didn't. I was like, that was fast.
It was more of just like, I just really enjoyed our relationship and where it was going. And I didn't feel pressured at all to join you on this adventure. But part of me was like, you know, I want to see where this goes. Like,
yeah,
whatever adventure she's going on, I want to be a part of. And that was literally the single reason what made me decide.
Yeah.
There's the romantic bit.
That was very romantic. He told me that later, and I was like, "Oh, yeah,
that's the romantic bit. The rest of it, the beginning part of it wasn't."
No, so it's a little bit crazy thinking about that, how quickly that decision was made, and just I didn't realize how uncommon it is to do something like that until I started meeting people and talking to people who had lived. Never left their state. Like, I'm actually curious. I'm going to look up, I'm curious to look up like how many people never leave the state that they're born in.
That is actually a good question to ask.
So it looks like 11% of survey respondents have never traveled outside of the state they were born in. Over half of those surveyed, 54% say they've visited 10 states or fewer.
Wow.
One third of Americans never moved from the town they grew up in. That's crazy. and a little over half of people have lived in the same state their whole lives. That's pretty crazy if you think about that.
Yeah, that is crazy. But, you know, you start analyzing people that you've been around your whole life and you can see it.
It's true.
Hell, you can analyze your own life and you can see it.
I was going to say, like, once we realized that we were going to move, I was like, hey, we need to go see our state. Like, we realized that we had never seen most of Utah.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. We'd lived there for 20 years and had never seen it. And I saw that again and again and again. We got to Florida and there were some friends of mine there. And I told them, like, oh, yeah, we're going to go see this beach this week. And they were like, ah, we've never been to that beach. And we've lived here for 30 years. And it was 10 minutes away from their house. You're like, what?
Yeah.
But I can attest that it does take energy. Okay. It took a lot of energy to go out and do these things in the state.
Yeah, especially when we were doing it like once a week. Some people do trips and they think they do it like once a month, maybe.
Yeah, we were doing it once a week.
It's pretty crazy.
It was, and we were seeing tons of things. So that's why we decided to do it. I haven't analyzed too much like why I was so passionate about not doing it in an RV. There was just like a piece of me that I was like, no, I just don't
want it.
I just don't want to do it in an RV. So I haven't like really analyzed that too much as to why, but yeah, I felt strongly about that.
Yeah, it's fair. I'm glad we didn't do it in the RV.
Yeah. So how many states? No, you were going to say something.
Oh yeah. So we didn't do the RV because she's like, I don't want to feel like we're on the road all the time. Ironically, I felt like we were on the road all the time though.
It did?
It did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that just from like us going in.
I think, okay, so that's not entirely accurate. I think the first half where we stayed for like 3 months, like in Florida, and then we did the same thing for North Carolina.
So when we did our 3 month stays?
It was better, you know, because I actually felt like, oh, I was actually living there for a little bit. I got to see it a little more. That's when we were doing the month stays, like just 1 month. I was like, I felt like we were unloading the car a couple days later, loading it back up and back on the road. It was a little brutal, not gonna lie.
That was brutal. I will agree with that. So we've done 11 states total. We're counting our 3 month stay here in Utah. So we did Florida, North Carolina, Tennessee, Maryland, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Massachusetts, Virginia, and now we're in Utah. Yeah. And we did that all within less than 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, cause
what was the last state you mentioned?
Virginia and then Utah.
Oh, did you say Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I missed that one for some reason.
Yeah. So we did a lot. We picked up our speed because we're like, hey, we want to see some more things.
Yeah. Cause didn't you calculate it that if we were to do this and do it in every single state in America, what
it'd take like 9 years.
Yeah.
I'm more like, hell no. Hell no.
Such a long period of time. Holy crap.
Yeah. So yeah, we were not doing that. But yeah, that was all the states. There are many stories from all of the different places that we stayed. But I want to talk more like the actual travel process. So curious, what are the most essential items to pack when living a nomadic lifestyle?
Lots and lots of underwear.
Coming out being nice and honest.
Well, not just underwear, obviously clothes too, you know.
Lots of board games.
Absolutely. No. So to give context, we made that mistake. We've talked about this in a previous episode, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I was like, half my earthly belongings are board games, you know? And I was like, well, I'm going to play them. I want to bring them all. And yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And there were regrets.
There were regrets. We had to carry a lot of those. We brought our PCs because we liked to game.
Well, and then we were also doing more remote work too. So those I felt like were a little more essential.
For you, yeah. I mean, my PC to work.
I could have gotten like a really nice laptop.
That is true.
But you're right. I like the game. So I felt like that was necessary to have.
Yeah, we're not minimalists. We like to collect. We brought our entire Warhammer collection. Now we're just talking about what we brought. For essential items, like obviously for me, it was like my Mac. We had a little safe with our cash,
and
passports, birth certificates,
yes.
Social Security. Those probably are really important. Obviously our wallets.
Wallets? What? No.
Oh man, like essentials. Cause we just bought food when we were there. We didn't bring any pots or pans or anything like that. No furniture, no beds.
Because the Airbnbs.
Yeah, they had it.
So we didn't necessarily need those items.
No.
Also this breakout of numbers is really kicking my butt.
Oh yeah. So, man, yeah, I would say you need to bring your payment methods, bring your important documents. We bought a safe to keep them safe while we were traveling, which was really important.
Yeah, I would say the essentials is very similar to when you do travel, like on a trip. Like, you know, you got your clothes, you got your important documents that you potentially will need.
Yeah.
You have cash just in case, you know, your card doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I feel like
if toiletries, but like it's instead of just packing for like obviously a couple days or like a week, you're packing for a really long time.
Year and a half. Longer. Yeah, I think if we really had done it minimalism, all we needed was clothes. Clothes.
Toiletries.
No, we could have even just bought those, but yeah, toiletries, MacBook computer, because that's how I make money and work.
Laptop, yeah.
Phone, important documents, and my pink blanket.
All her blankies, let's be real.
I love my blankies.
So for those of you that don't know, Elena has like six blankets, and they're all varying sizes and varying in design. You know, imagine like just kid blankets.
They are kid blankets. I think I have a My Little Pony blanket.
Not you think you do.
Yeah.
You definitely do.
And a little blanket that has blocks.
And turtles.
And turtles. You recognize the turtles?
Yes. And she's slept with these blankets for how long?
For as long as I can remember.
Which is?
I think I got my pink blanket when I was 3, maybe 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, she still has these. And these are what she would also consider essential. Just so everyone is aware.
They are essential. Yeah. So that's what I would say. This probably would be a question for me because I had a lot of experience with this was how do you handle healthcare and medical needs while constantly on the move?
Oh yeah. Cause you have a lot of those. I don't think I had one actually. Yeah, I did. Cause I'm a healthy man.
Yeah, so I'm not dying. I'm very healthy, but
goodness, sure.
Hey guys, real quick. Are you worried about missing an episode? We just barely started our new Game Nights and Heart Talks newsletter where you'll be the first to know when a new episode drops along with getting access to exclusive stories about each episode. So if you want to join us and stay in the loop, we would love to have you and go ahead and subscribe by clicking the link in the description. Let's jump back in.
Ears. So I had a tooth problem. Personally, I don't know if I'd take advice from me. I don't think I handled this very well. It was just very stressful for me because my insurance is Utah based. So trying to find out of network people was difficult. Yeah, that was very difficult. Trying to get in as a new patient when we were only there for 3 months was hard. But I do think I did a good job with my birth control. So I went to a doctor in Maryland, an OBGYN, was able to get in with them within the 3 months that we were there. And then I had it assigned to my CVS. And so literally it would be sent there every single month. So what I did was every single time I was sent there, if I was in a new state, I would just call call the new CVS, say, hey, can you transfer this prescription? And we just transferred it.
Honestly, I feel like that's the reason why they got tired of sending it.
You know, it's probably.
They're like,
probably.
Where to now?
Yeah. So, yeah, that was how I handled that. But, yeah, I think I just focused on trying to get in with people as best that I can. Not really trying to commit to any, like, care doctor or anything like that. And, yeah, just being very, very patient. But again, I don't feel like I'm the best person to ask about this because I don't think I handled it very well. But it was hard. It was very difficult. Not something I was expecting.
I disagree. I think you did a pretty good job.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hard for me.
I think I would have definitely struggled too.
So, yeah.
I wonder if that's the reason why, like, a lot of people don't move is, like, their, like, medical care is... I don't know.
Potentially. I could definitely see that being the case. But something I didn't think about. Another thing was the mail. How did we handle the mail?
Oh, gosh. Well, it depended on, like, if... Well, the way we handled it was we had to obviously go to like our parents' addresses. So like your mail went to yours and then my mail went to my.
Those were like our stable addresses. So the addresses that our license, our credit cards, yeah. Our businesses.
So like any important documents needed to go there. But like stuff like Amazon, if the Airbnb could take packages, we just had it sent there.
We also did a P.O. box in Florida, which was super nice.
That was very nice.
I would recommend a P.O. box, but they are only 3 months at a time. And when we were doing 1 month stays, that wasn't going to happen. You could also ask your Airbnb person if we can take the mail. Surprisingly, we could do that in, we did that in North Carolina. He gave us the mail key.
Oh, yeah.
That was
really, really
super
nice.
Handy. I know. I was like, okay, like this is really nice. So you can ask the Airbnb person if you could use their mailbox. Tennessee was the same way.
Yeah, I think it was as long as it was like the individual owner. Cause like I know some they're like
Vermont was a company that we were not able to use.
Yeah, they own it and it just made it really difficult to accomplish something like that with the mail.
It's true. So that's how we handled that, but we just tied everything to our parents' address as like our stable address.
Yeah, and then they would forward it to us to our location.
Yes.
If it was possible, some places.
Yeah, so I was grateful for that. That they were willing to forward it to us, because I can imagine that not everybody would be willing to do that. But that's how we handled that. Let's see.
Yeah, what else do you got there? Also, I did this one.
Oh, nice. How do you maintain a sense of stability and routine while constantly on the move?
Oh, that one's a deep one.
Yeah, okay. I did
flip that. I think it all starts with what time you go to bed. That will determine what time you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does start there. Um,
I think we came up with a routine for our moving.
Oh, we definitely did. For
we would move every Saturday. Yeah. It would take longer sometimes, depending on how far we were driving, but we'd move every Saturday. We'd pack the house up beforehand. It wouldn't take us very long.
No.
So I think coming up with a routine for that, I think we just, for me, like, I just never treated it like we were moving. Moving could be such a big event in life, especially like when you're moving your entire house and you're like, oh, I have to, you know, get all my furniture and everything. And moving can be like a whole month affair. We just didn't make it take that long. We were like, hey, no, we're going to only be moving these 2 days. We're going to have completely unpacked the entire house. We'll be ready to go. We normally would go out to eat and like explore the area when we were there. And then, you know, life would just begin on Monday as normal. And so we would try and find a gym or a place to work out and like follow what we knew we wanted to do. And so, yeah, I just think treating it like, hey, we're just going.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's, you would just treat it like you were living back in your, like we did in Utah, you know, we had a routine and
we didn't treat it like a vacation.
No. Yeah. Cause it definitely wasn't a vacation.
Yeah.
Even though there were moments where it did feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I did too. I thought that it was really enjoyable. And just finding ways, this is a really big takeaway that I had, finding ways to stick to the routine, no matter the situation. I was talking to somebody and I feel like this was a skill that we gained while doing this, is that it's not that we're waiting for the perfect conditions. Like, oh, I can only work out if I'm in my gym, or I can only go on walks if it's around my place in the area that I know, or I can only make food if it's in the kitchen that I'm comfortable with. Like, literally it was like, hey, we need to eat healthy. We need to work out. We need to have a place to do our calls. Like, even if it's, I know we're going to mix the cards. Even if it's like, hey, we're doing the calls and the bed is behind me. In Maryland, when everybody thought I was in a hotel, because literally the bed was behind me. And I'm like, no, like, I got to do calls. In Maryland, since my brother came out to join us, and Livia, that's my younger sister, was also joining us, we didn't have as many desk options. So we're like, we're going to just go buy something off of Facebook Marketplace. I need a desk. It's going to be put in our bedroom. That's not ideal, but we've got to get on calls. We got to do things. And finding parks and places to walk around and just not expecting the circumstances to be the same and being okay with doing our routine no matter what the situation looked like. Mm-hmm. I think we've gotten really good at that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Because it doesn't necessarily matter where, you know.
Yeah.
Depends on you.
It's true. So yeah, I would say that that's probably the biggest thing, is just accepting that it's going to be,
because like it's different to a degree. It's not everywhere. It's not going to be that different, unless of course you go to Moss, Tennessee, in the middle of nowhere,
or Vermont, Windham, Vermont.
No, you live on a mountain. Who would think it's yeah? Honestly, I thought we were going to die
in Vermont.
Yeah.
I don't blame you, man.
Oh no! First property review.
I don't blame you. That was pretty intense. I was like, I don't know what we're doing here.
I don't know what we were thinking.
There were a lot of times that I did not plan well. Like, I did not look at it and go, yes, like, this is going to fit our needs.
Oh, I have to do that one.
And so, yeah, there were some times like that for sure.
Yeah. But it was still good. Still worth it.
Yes.
And for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. Oh man, we're coming to the end of the game here.
I know, I'm looking Looking a little rough.
So the question for okay, last question for you. I wanted to make sure. Our mics are still on. Okay, we're good.
I haven't seen that show, but I've seen that clip. Anyway.
How do you deal with the emotional challenges of constantly moving and not having a permanent home?
Turning them off.
Just kidding. I was not expecting that.
I don't feel like I'm a very emotional person. Not that I don't feel emotions, I do, but this is partly due to, I think, the training you and I had with our ballroom coach and, you know, controlling said emotions well enough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a second property refusal.
Come on, bro.
Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought because we're in the end game here.
No, I'm saying, why are you taking property refusals?
Because I plan poorly. We're talking a lot, and that's game over.
Oh, no. I still could do so much more.
Well, good for you, Pikachu.
Anyway, finish your train of thought, then we'll count up points.
Oh, I'm not in the camera. Hold on. I think it was easier for us too, since we had each other, you know?
Yeah.
Constantly checking in and helping us and just having someone to talk to. Cause I think if I was by myself, I think I would have gotten overwhelmed for sure. Like that emotion of overwhelm.
Yeah.
And, cause there was times where I did feel lonely and I missed my family, but you know, having you made it not as difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's probably the one way I did it or handled it, was just having you there.
Yeah, I would agree as well. Like I told you a lot of times, like it's like bringing a piece of comfortableness in all of the uncomfortableness that was there. A new place, a new town. We didn't know a lot of people. Yeah, just being moving and everything like that. Yeah, it gave us...
I mean, there wasn't a lot of people to get to know in Moss, Tennessee. Anyway.
We had Benjamin, which was the dog next to us.
We just named the dog. I don't think that was the dog's name.
We did. We named it Benjamin.
Yeah, he was just this poor dog that was stuck in like this...
Stuck in this little kennel. There was one house next to us. But yeah, if you ever want to hear our stories about Moss, Tennessee, that is a whole nother podcast itself.
That's a whole nother show, that's for sure. Crap.
Oh, that was wild.
The best part about that place, though, was the air just smelled so clean.
And the sunsets.
The sunset, the sunrises.
Gorgeous.
The fact that we could do fires like every night if we wanted to.
Yeah. There are some benefits being out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
We also had hella good Wi-Fi.
Oh, my goodness. That was like the only way we could communicate with people.
Really good Wi-Fi.
It was crazy.
We had no service, but we had Wi-Fi, so that's what mattered. Yeah, so I'd say having each other and then just being open about our experience, like not, I think, expecting it to be any way. For me, I definitely did come in with a lot of expectations. Like I expected the traveling to change me. But the thing is that you bring yourself with where you travel. Mm-hmm. And so the locations don't change you. It's how you choose to be and how... Yeah, how you choose to be with your life and everything. I just realized that heater is on and it's like board games are really hot. Okay, we're going to move that. Anyway, yeah, so that's what I would say. You ready to calculate scores?
Well, is that the last little subject of this Heart Talks?
It is. So if you want to travel without an RV, it's possible. You can make it happen. We had an amazing experience. I'm grateful for it and I wouldn't change it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And obviously not to discount the other people who've done the...
Kudos to you for doing an RV.
Like car life. Not even
and RV, the car life, car yeah. Life.
Like mm-hmm. Some people are doing like four-door little Honda Civics and they're making it work. And it's like, kudos to you, man. I
just not my jam.
I do not think I can handle it, but like they're out there traveling, living life, and having a wonderful time.
Yeah. So if it's your jam, great. If it's not your jam, but you still want to travel, just wanted to show you guys that it's possible.
Airbnbs.
Airbnb it. Okay.
All right.
How many constructions?
I only got two.
I have three.
I got four.
All right. What is your final score?
I actually did okay, you know, for being a little distracted. I got 88 points.
Okay, okay.
You're going to say like 100, huh?
I got 113. Oh, gosh. Test number 12 was successful.
So if you can, you couldn't tell, I only play this game a ton.
Crushing it.
When I first started dating you, you were not familiar with these kinds of games ever.
I was not.
And
now I've become a boss boss.
A pleb. And I have created a monster that I can't even beat.
Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We hope that you guys enjoyed the flow of this episode. Until next time.
Keep the dice rolling. But in this case, keep the cards flipping.
Hey. Bye, guys.